Rorik Honda is big on car checkups and celeb meetups, like the one with Arthur Motes Thursday at 5 p.m. in the showroom. Stop for a hot chocolate and enjoy his podcast live.
Plus, if you purchase his book, Theory of Life, and get his signature that day, it's perfect for a holiday gift, along with a Rorik ride, of course. So stop by our Bloomfield location or visit us at www.rorik.com.
There you go. Now let's start this week's You Jag Off podcast from Lou Mays, right? 32nd
yes.
Street, somewhere in the Strip District. Just Google it.
Find it.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word jag off is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word jag off. When someone cuts you off on a parkway. Jag off!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, jag off!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jag off?
This is Captain Wild Bill.
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Rocky Blair.
And this is the You Jag Off Podcast.
So this is the You Jag Off Podcast from Lou Mays. Couldn't wait to come in here. There's so many blinking lights that you don't know which way to turn.
Right.
It's crazy. We came for media day, so we knew a little bit about how to navigate, get through the mazes, see the various things that all the kids are running around talking about. And this way we could be helpful to our guests to come
and
back.
The key part is that it's rained both times we've been here.
Yeah, we bring the rain.
But the good news is once you're in, you're in. It's
you're
not
in.
Like you have to drive around and look at
and
the
lights,
lights in the
you
rain.
You can see it all.
Right. Right. And you can just take your time. You can eat. Yeah. You can drink and all these kind of things. If you're listening for the very first time, make sure make sure you download it and subscribe to it on radio.com app.
Mm-hmm. And you will hear it on Entercom, KDKA, on Monday. And then you can just hear it from us on Tuesday. So you just have to get it.
Right. And it's
easy
all,
to get.
It all comes from the YouJagoff.com blog, which, by the way, which was on the blog. You had a great blog about someone blocking your driveway, and you had a little situation.
I had to tinkle.
Right.
And so when you live on a dead-end street and you can't get up your driveway because the box truck is stopped in the middle, I'm not complaining because I'm not one of those people who wants to go out in the hustle and bustle and shop. I'd rather order it online and get it delivered. So I have to pay the price, right?
Right.
Full bladder.
Right. And we did one during the holidays, we're doing our charitable Sharitable.
Yes.
And we did a video with Mikey.
Mikey O'Malley.
We already received texts. He got a bunch of toys today.
It's crazy. He filled tables and tables in 4 hours at Arch Street. The toy march on Arch was for our friends at Cuddles for Kids. And he raised a ton of toys to make people happy this year. So, yeah.
So the charitable thing has been gone very, very well.
We love
for
it.
Us
we love it. And we still have one more to go. So
and
stay tuned.
Keep in mind the car version. We still are looking for a car to give away on Christmas
from
Eve.
Priority, right?
Right.
It was the priority.
Yep.
Group.
So,
okay, perfect.
All right.
So, are we going to talk to some of these Lou Mays people? Because that's
I
all
think
you
so,
hear
yeah.
about.
I think so.
Everywhere you go in the city of Pittsburgh right now, that's all you're hearing is about Lou Mays. I think people have gotten actual bucket lists and said, my holiday needs include Lou Mays. So there you go.
That's awesome.
Is that what you're hearing?
I'm not hearing it very much, but I'm glad that
okay.
you told me so.
I promise. Who are we talking? Who are we hearing?
Okay. Well,
it's clearly not Brenna.
No.
Not Brenna.
You're not
no,
a Brenna.
I'm Charles. I'm the producer of Lou Mays.
Charles. Nice to meet
have
you.
Have we talked to you on the phone? Your voice sounds so familiar.
Or you
I don't
just
know
have
if we
that
have.
Voice.
I don't know.
Maybe
but
I do.
I have
that perfect voice for podcasts.
Yes.
There you go. There you go. So tell us about what made you select this location, why Pittsburgh, all those good things. Like, how did this come to be? Because you have been busy since you opened your doors.
We've been unbelievably busy. I mean, Pittsburgh has embraced this event in a way that we could never have imagined. It's been awesome since we opened up 3 weeks ago, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
Three. So the whole Lou Mays event premiered outside of Vancouver, which is where I'm from, two Christmases ago in a greenhouse. A bunch of guys who had 100,000 square feet of empty greenhouse space in the winter months decided to put on a Christmas lights show. And the rest is history. There was an expansion after year one to two more cities, Edmonton and then just north of Toronto, where I currently live. And this is year three, and we've expanded to 10 cities. So it's been really quick.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And why Pittsburgh?
I'm a huge fan of Mario Lemieux and Sidney Crosby.
Okay.
I figured this was the best way I could lure them out.
Did you? Were you successful?
No, not yet. But I did meet Brian Trottier, so that was amazing.
Isn't he the best?
He's the best.
Did he play the guitar for you?
I didn't even know he played the guitar.
Wait a minute. He sings country songs.
night.
He's holding out.
Night.
That's right.
Yeah.
He sings country songs. He's been singing since he was 11.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit him up for that next
you
time.
You need to do that.
Do yeah.
it.
That's for sure. Well, and you picked two of the best. I mean, does it get any better than those two gentlemen? We have to get them to you. Let's start a campaign.
I know.
Let's start a chant.
Now, the funny thing is that I can't remember the phrasing that Rachel used in the opening, but, you know, a year ago, people in Pittsburgh, well, people are very parochial here. Like, they don't change. But Lumet's was never even something anybody even knew of prior to this. But in the meantime, you come to town your first year, and it's sold out, like, every day.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, we really can't believe it. Before you could even get here, it was...
Yep. Yeah, that's the advance sales. We put tickets on sale in August or September.
Yeah.
And God bless Pittsburghers for buying tickets to a Christmas show in the middle
of
summer.
Oh, they know how it works. Yeah.
I'm shocked, actually.
To your credit, and maybe somebody from Pittsburgh gave you the inside scoop, we used to have this event that was at Heartwood Acres, which is this area, the suburbs of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And you could, for a carload, for $10, people would pile in cars and go through and you saw all these lights.
Yeah.
There were so many complaints for years that there was nothing like that anymore. So you sort of answered that hope.
Well, that was the goal.
There you
and
go.
We've also
you
heard
knew.
About a wonderful event called Kennywood, which is a little bit further away as well, but nothing really in the downtown area.
No, exactly.
And we were saying that we came for media night, pouring down rain. It's pouring down rain today.
So we bring the rain.
But that's our fault, so we accept that. But the fact is, once you're inside here, it doesn't matter. You know, you don't have to drive through the neighborhood with your windshield wipers on trying to see through the blurry windows. You could come in here and lose yourself for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's the secret sauce. It's all indoors. Yeah. Even the playgrounds and the artificial grass and everything. So, I mean, the grass, like, it's all inspired by the original greenhouse where these things premiered.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so we've brought that in, hence the bricks and the mulch and all the poinsettias and the flowers, because behind all of this are a bunch of guys who are greenhouse guys.
And that's
it. So all the flowers are real.
So you choose all locations like that.
Well, so we've been doing greenhouses, and then this year we did some convention centers, and then I came to Pittsburgh, because I actually kind of love Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And I was told about this soundstage that's right in this developing area called the Strip District.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of any of it.
Uh-huh.
So in January of last year, I drove down on a day much like today, met the people who were here. They walked me through, and I saw this extraordinary former steel mill.
Yeah.
And I thought, I can't imagine a better place for Pittsburgh than right here.
Yeah, that was perfect. Yeah.
Let's get some statistics. How many lights are in here, and you know, these kind of things. And then we obviously want to tell everybody they could still get tickets.
They can. Up until January 4th, I think, is our last day here. In terms of the number of lights, we stopped counting after 2 million.
Wow.
We stopped counting after
2
million. Yeah, there's
how
about 500.
2 million? Like, does a person do it, or do you?
No, you do bulk. You know, you do bulk. Yeah, you know.
You kind of, you ballpark it.
I'm literal. Are they really? Okay, wait, one.
And the carpenters are outside cutting 2x4s on the electric meter out there.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and there's food here. There's
food,
music,
there's food trucks.
The
marketplace, all local vendors. We wanted it to be really local. Everything about this thing, we wanted it to be local. No big corporations behind it. As I was coming to set this thing up over the summer, people kept telling me about Pittsburgh Proud, Pittsburgh Proud. Mm-hmm. Everyone in Pittsburgh loves things that are Pittsburgh. And I took it to heart. So all the beer are local microbrews. All the food are local food vendors and food trucks.
Love it.
We hired an extraordinary company here called Here Corp, who hire at-risk youth to help with their production setup. A bunch of people who are freshly released from incarceration who are using this job as a means of getting back on their feet. You know, and the whole community has just rallied around it, which I think is why the city has responded so well, because it feels like the city built this thing together. Like, I came, I set things up, but it was the city that built this thing.
Yeah, you're lucky. You know? That was smart to say. That was smart, because Pittsburgh people get weird about people who aren't from Pittsburgh, and if they embrace you, you're safe.
Yeah,
that was
the
goal.
So you said two key words, Crosby and Lemieux.
All right.
So they embrace you. No, seriously, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
And we brought, when John and I came for media night in particular, we brought my 11-year-old daughter who... You know, just to kind of give an idea, it doesn't matter the age, because to your point, families are coming, they're walking around, making memories.
Yep.
I saw a lot of couples and a lot of engagement photos, and this is the selfie capital of Pittsburgh right now.
Isn't it amazing?
Right? Yes.
Isn't it? And you have to have your photo taken here, right?
No question.
I have to. Well, I mean, to your point, we're getting what we call all four demographics are coming through, grandparents with their little kids and whatever. And today I found out we're also having a party for 36 epileptic youngsters who are coming here specifically for this, to experience this. space. So we're getting
wonderful.
A lot of people who are differently abled who are coming through and finding this to be a very safe space to enjoy the magic of the season.
Wow, this is fantastic.
Very well said.
And, you know, before we let you go, we have to make sure we give the website again. But today on the, this is such a Pittsburgh podcast because we have the Pirates broadcaster, Greg Brown, is with us today, who is, still has to maybe even decorate his house. Mm-hmm. We have Andy Arnheim, who is the True Value guy from that everybody's known and loved on the air, TV, radio, and KDK for 20-some years.
Yeah.
Right?
He's going to tell us how you plug all these lights in.
Right.
I don't know that.
I don't know.
And Roslyn from Incline Pittsburgh is going to be here because she's doing something very Pittsburgh about a Pittsburgh walk. And, of course, our music.
Yeah, chipping the charge ups. It's all black and gold.
They have a black and gold Christmas song.
Yeah. So we even themed it for you, brother.
So
that's how we roll.
So perfect. We have to tell you, thanks very much
thank
for bringing
so
this
much.
To Pittsburgh.
Well, of course. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And thanks for having us here today because as everybody knows, we listen to a podcast, but all of the pictures are going to show some of what we, and your daughter Addie did a nice little video while we were here.
She did. She gave her little interpretation. Yeah. So when you can please an 11-year-old with two older brothers, you've really mastered
that's
it.
That's awesome.
So we do have the question of the day. There's two different questions. I'm giving you the easier one.
Good.
And here's why. Because you're letting us be here. So you get off a little bit easier than everybody else. So the other question, though, just in case anyone's listening over there, the other question is going to be the word lumaze is what? Like illuminating amazement, right?
Yeah, or, I mean, we're a Canadian-based company, so lumière is the French word for lights.
Okay.
So,
I liked mine because it's two words together,
well,
right?
Absolutely. And amaze, of course, is amazing. So it's a portmanteau, however you do it.
I love it. And so though everybody else has to answer what two words they would put together for the holiday. But you already did that. So yours is, what do you prefer, white lights or colored lights?
You know, so yesterday in Toronto, my wife and I were putting up the Christmas tree. Yeah. I like colored lights. She like white lights.
What'd you do?
We did white lights.
Or you put up two trees. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I love it. Thank That's you so much
well,
for the
time. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Coming back to the 412, I got all my presents bought. Mom got all the pierogies made, put a chair in my parking spot.
It doesn't matter if that skylight's sprinkled with rain or snow.
That.
As long as I can cross
the bridge. I don't know why, I'll be glad to do it. Whatever Rachel says.
That is not the way to start the podcast, whatever Rachel says. But that's what Rachel wants to hear.
No, it's, shut up. Meanwhile, Andy just got done saying, why does John act like that? I said, he's the star and I have to treat him as such.
Act like what? What's he act like?
John?
Like a star.
Like a pompous star.
Big ego.
He wanted
That's
green
why you come
M&Ms.
To these big places to fit this huge ego. It is incredible.
Yes, but in all honesty, if anyone knows John Chamberlain, you know he has a heart of gold and he'd do anything for anybody. And
Agreed.
You are one of his favorite guests.
Well,
yeah.
You guys
not
are
lying.
Two of my favorite people,
well,
and I'm not lying
thank
there either.
Thank you.
Well,
absolutely.
And so for anybody who doesn't know that golden voice, it's the golden voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Greg Brown. And we can't get you during baseball season.
Yeah, you could. You don't ask. But you certainly could.
So. Listen, you are
the reason. By the way, this is the truth podcast.
Yes.
We're telling the truth.
Oh, is that right?
Never have you asked me to do a podcast during the season. That's the truth.
Oh, really?
Is that right?
I don't know.
That's I don't know.
I think
you are responsible for us coming to the conclusion that we have to have a schedule. Before, we would be like, who do we want on the podcast? And then we'd be like, in 2 weeks, we'll ask so-and-so. And then we realized, you can't come on until now, so we better get our act together and have
Good. I'm glad. The most unorganized human being on the face of the earth is responsible for somebody else getting
there
organized.
You go.
That's
there
great.
You go.
That makes a lot
and
of sense.
Michelle, who emailed you off and on throughout this process, her rule, her job description is kick John and Rachel in the blank when we're not responding to people's emails
fill
and phone
blank,
calls.
Fill in that blank, Greg. Fill in that blank.
That's good. Kick John on the foot.
That's it. So listen, number one question. What are you doing in the winter? I don't want to talk Pirates.
I don't either. That makes three of us. Maybe 103 of us. Actually, this has been a great time because we have not lost a game in 10 weeks. So I'm really, you can see I'm in a very good mood.
Yeah, right. You have good things to report.
But I'm asked that question constantly every year, and there's really no one answer for it other than to tell you that I can't believe how fast it goes.
It does,
My favorite time of the year is, aside from the baseball season, is the first month after the season because you get the kind of the big exhale and you get I use the analogy, it's almost like you're riding this big wave once the middle of February when I report to spring training.
and spring training games start. And you, so we do 30 games in spring training, and then we do 162 baseball games regular season. So you can imagine, you know, not that it's certainly not brain surgery, but it is, you know the way it is, you're on. You're on.
Yes. Yeah.
We're to a degree entertainers. And so all season long, I feel like I'm two different people. But once you hit the beach and you actually get your footing, you can take that deep breath and relax and then do all the things that I don't do during the season. I put a lot of stuff in the corner. I've told some
like
folks
what?
We're trying to sell a house. And,
that'll do it.
And it's really difficult because, I don't know if my mother-in-law will listen to this or not. But she's a wonderful lady. But in case she is listening.
But she won't move.
She won't move. No. She's going with us. And she has about a 15-year-old Cocker Spaniel who is blind, deaf, and dumb.
That's a lot of good tax deductions.
No,
in a human.
I wish
in a human.
Oh yeah, be perfect. and so it's a lot of chaos. Great chaos at the house that we're trying to sell, and then trying to move eventually. So that's taken up toward Evans City.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's fair
enough. So in the area.
Okay.
But
the good news is all of the crazy Pittsburgh Pirates fans that listen to the podcast will be like, they'll be Googling where you are at this point.
Yeah, where did he go?
And you know what? I know you actually don't seem like you would mind that. When we talk about what you do during the season, you're very, very busy, but you actually take the time. Well, I remember we were at the Foundry on the north side. We were walking out of the Foundry bar and restaurant one day, and you had, because of all the controversy with, you know, people, Nutting doesn't care and all that kind of, you actually agreed to meet people at a bar and said, look, if you want to talk Pirates, meet me here.
Well,
and
I joined Twitter about, I don't know, 4 years ago.
Okay.
Someone who kind of consults me said, you really got to get your brand out there. And I held back forever, finally did it. And it's, for the most part, it's great because it's good information to receive more than anything else. And you can share. I did a thing called the Blast Chronicles this year where I would videotape or take pictures of Steve Blast starting in spring training because it was his final year in the broadcast booth. And I kind of wanted to invite Pirate fans along this trip with me in this final year. And so I kind of chronicled Steve's final year and really captured some really cool moments for Steve and for fans of Steve and the Pirates. But anyway, so I got on Twitter, and a couple of off seasons back, people really started to get angry, and I came out with a loud defense of our owner, Bob Nutting. I actually did that on the air. It was on 93.7 The Fan one morning. They called me and said, hey, you did something on Twitter supporting Bob Nutting. Would you come on the air with us? I said, okay. I got on the air, and of course, then it escalated everything, and now people started really getting angry. I said to one guy said, I wish sometime we could have a beer and we could really talk this out rather than going back and forth on Twitter. And I said, you name the place, you name the time, and I'll buy. And so we came up with a place, and he said, can I invite some of my Twitter friends? And I said, sure. And so we had, I don't know, when all was said and done, maybe a couple dozen people that night. And I did. I said, before we begin, two things, no recording devices. And if you say something that I said here down the road publicly to someone, and it gets back to me, I will deny it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm doing this. The Pirates don't know I'm doing this. I'm doing this because I want a legitimate debate, a conversation, which this country doesn't do anymore. We're
100%.
Not allowed to debate people
right.
We disagree with, which I don't get. I love the debate. I love it. I love talking to people I don't agree with politically. They're some of my best friends. And the same is true here. We get in this debate, and we chatted it out, and we talked, and I don't know that we solved anything, but they knew where I was coming from. And I said, again, the organization doesn't know I'm doing this, but I'm buying everybody beers here tonight. And we were there. That's what we saw. Yeah, a couple years ago.
We saw you. Yeah.
So it was fun. Yeah.
Good
that's,
for you.
That
well,
shows
I mean, think,
your passion for it. I mean, you're not. Yeah.
What's funny, because the next day, someone from the organization called me and said, how'd it go? And I said, how'd what go? And they said, come on, we're not dumb. We know you did something. I said, what? They said, well, we know what was going on. Obviously, we saw. And they debated in-house whether they should have someone there to kind of monitor this conversation at the Foundry. And they decided, no, he'll be fine. And they let me go. And I said, it was fine. Again, I don't think we necessarily solved anything. You know, I did try, and I've said to a lot of people, I've gotten to know the owner, Bob Nutting. He's not a personal friend, but I've said to so many people, he's a very legit, he's a good man. And I've known owners in sports for a lot of years. I've been in sports broadcasting for over 30 years. So I've gotten to know many owners, and many of them are good. But maybe we should use the term, John, which some of them are, and worse. And he is a good man, and he really does care about winning, even though people want to deny it. And I said, look at the facts, and we went on and talked about that. But if you want to debate bad drafts of players, bad player development, dumb moves, I'm all in with you. We'll go back and forth on that. But the easy, and I've said this on the air to many on our flagship station, the easy answer, it's lazy to say he doesn't care, he's a cheap owner. Because it's not true, and you're not doing your work. If you look into it and look into the facts and really dive deep into it, you'll see that. Again, it's not about a cheap owner. If you want to talk about bad trades, the like, so forth, that's fine. And it cost three people their jobs.
Yeah.
This past season. So obviously he does. That's the other thing too. I said, I've told this to friends and fans alike over the last couple months. Now, for years you've told me he doesn't care about, for years, you told me he does not care one iota about winning. If that's the case, please explain to me why he just ate about $18 million by
good point.
Letting these guys go. Yeah. Because if he really didn't care, then he certainly wouldn't care about getting rid of these guys. Why not?
Yeah.
And just keep them. So anyway, that's the long version
Rachel,
of why.
I love it. Rachel, we failed in our mission to have Greg Brown come on and not talk about baseball.
Oh,
and
I
let him. Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to do that to you.
No, that's not.
But I love the fact of how genuine you are.
Well, yeah, I hate to bother people because you get those questions all the time, but that story is
too golden.
Well,
I think about that, Rachel, a lot. Like during the holiday season, all these parties and stuff, people go up to, you know, I don't want to talk baseball. I think to myself, well, please do, because I don't know what else I talk about. I'm not very well-rounded, so I'm fine. I'm fine talking in my comfort zone.
That was a great story, and so well put, because it is true. Everyone has an opinion. Everybody's a coach,
that's
right?
And the bottom line in sports, I've said this too, because I was in Buffalo for 5 years, and I was in the Buffalo Bills broadcast booth for 4 years, went to four straight Super Bowls, and they are as passionate about the Bills as they are about the Steelers here. When the Sabres, who are bad usually every year in hockey, when they do have a good run, people get passionate there, just like they do with the Penguins. When the Pirates won those three straight years, passion was through the roof.
It was nuts.
I mean, it's very a simple equation that, and I guess it's just the way fans are throughout the country, but the simple equation is this, and without disrespect to people in marketing, because I was in the marketing department for a number of years, so I get it, and they absolutely help. They're very important. But the very simple equation, you win, they'll come, they'll support you. You don't, they won't, and they will, in this case, get a little ticked off, which is great. Because it does tell that there's a great passion.
Yeah.
Because they do.
And
they get very angry.
I say this all the time, even with just, you know, Sunday dinner discussions, right? My brother is an avid, he works for the Steelers, but he is an avid baseball fan. He loves it, but of course all of the banter gets to all of us. But doesn't time help a little bit? So here we are in December. It's already calmed down because we have all the football crap going
absolutely.
On. So come April, there's going to be people
there.
That's
a great thing about, baseball and sports, but baseball in particular, because especially if you live where we do in the Northeast, that when spring training comes around, there's this renewal of hope.
Yeah, that's it.
The slate is wiped clean.
Yep.
You're thinking about spring and better weather, and you know we talk about spring training, and we're down there with baseball, and that all brings hope. And the excitement that the spring is eternal, and every season there is, and especially true this year. I'm excited about the new management team. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really do.
Listen, so let's switch subjects for a second, because I know we talked about this. I can't remember if it was on a video we did, BR before Rachel, or if it was on...
I hate when he does this.
Oh, you don't like that?
No, those,
BR, just said, is pretty wow. Cool.
The day, the WR with Rachel are way better than BR, for sure. So, anyways, you at one point wanted to be the Pittsburgh Pirate and failed at that mission. Would that not be true?
I don't like the word fail, John. the Pirate Parrot was, when it debuted, when they unveiled the new mascot, I jumped at this opportunity to try, because I was a kid out of high school, and I thought this was my chance to get to Pittsburgh. I was from central Pennsylvania, and so I applied for that. 500 people across the country also wanted to be the mascot. And no, I did not. I failed in that regard, because I didn't win. I didn't get the job. I did come in second. I backed him up. I did some gigs.
Okay.
That's how I got my foot in the door in the organization. So, that's true.
The part of the story I love is that, you know, and look where you are now. You know, this is about, we talked about earlier about my son, and we know there are things you have to do to get to where you want to be that you don't necessarily want to do, but you know it gets you within the organization and those kind of things.
And anything too. Yeah. We're talking to Rachel too about her son and Andy Emmeron, who's going to be joining you guys.
Thanks for bringing us in.
Whose daughter
John was not.
But everyone has such a cool story. But especially if talk about passion, when we meet with maybe high school or college students, I would think you guys would agree. It certainly is the case with me. I tell them that, and I speak to classes, you know, boys and girls, young men and women who want to get in the business, whether it's sports broadcasting, journalism, whatever. I don't care if you want to get into this business, whether you want to get into medicine, law, whatever it might be, at least have a passion for something.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Each of these stories that I heard this morning from you, Rachel and Andy, I could tell your kids have a passion for something. That's what bothers me more than anything else. When you go and you visit, sometimes I'll have a cup of coffee with a kid who says he or she wants to get in the business, and they'll email us. I'll do anything at all to get where you are. Just tell me, you know. So I'll have a cup of coffee, and I want to shake them. I want to grab them by the collar and wake them up and say, please, I don't care what it is,
whatever.
But have a passion for something in life.
Yeah.
So that's what's cool. Everybody has a story to tell.
All right. And I remember telling my kids, I don't care if you want to be a, you know, a bathroom cleaner,
yep,
but be the best bathroom
Absolutely.
Cleaner you ever were. There
no
ever
question.
Was, right? So let's start. Let's switch to, go ahead, Rach.
Yeah, we don't have a bathroom cleaner here, but we have somebody else. I mean,
he knows how to.
You're turning your back.
He knows how
on
to
us.
Install the toilet.
He's helped me over the years, let me tell you.
If you don't want to clean it, just get rid of it all and have Andy bring it in.
Yeah, right. I'll build it.
What, who's the voice you hear, John? Because you've been wanting to get him on as well.
So Andy and Ryan, True Value Guy. That's what we know. True Value Guy from KDK Radio, KDK TV, Pittsburgh Today Live. And everybody knows your voice. Most people know your face from the TV. And here you are, the pinnacle of your career with Greg Brown on the Ajax podcast.
Well, that's why I'm here today, because Greg Brown is here.
Right.
That's how we baited you, right? There was no other way.
You said Greg was coming, so I'm coming.
Andy Emrine, I said, I'm going to see Andy and ask how I can repair that bathroom, Andy. We'll talk about that after the show.
Get a bigger hammer.
Andy, there are 2 million lights here. Did you know
million.
That? Did you hear them?
I counted them, yeah.
I thought you did.
Yeah, I did.
How many extension cords?
Well, you see the one over there is out, so I got to go fix
it. I got to
fix
counting,
that one
yeah.
first.
2 million? Did you? Is that true?
That's what
2 million.
He said. Yeah.
But what
he
about
said
the
they
whole?
I'm sorry. He said they stopped counting
at 2 million.
After 2 million.
That's funny, because last night I at a buddy's house, a bunch of guys were having beverages and watched on a big screen Chevy Chase.
Oh, geez. Christmas Vacation.
And that reminds me of that, where the father-in-law said, you know, he can't figure it out and all the lights are out. And the guy says, you know, when one goes out, they all go out.
Right.
You have to check them all. Right,
that's
Andy?
It. Well, that's it. That's
used
old
to be
school.
That way.
That's old school. Andy, so, first of all, Greg, Christmas lights all around here. What's your Christmas lights guy or minimalist or fake tree, real tree? What about?
Used to have the real tree. Used to do all the lights. I put wreaths up at each window of the house. I used to be real excited about it until I had to sell this house.
We're
now
back
I'm not
to that.
As excited. Figuring heck with this. But you know, it's funny because every time, you know, growing up, I remember my mom, not like she was a Scrooge. She died about 3 years ago, but she would always say it was like her least favorite time, because she would have to get all the lights she out would. And decorate, and then get no help afterward putting this stuff away.
Yeah.
And so it, to a degree, she was kind of Scrooge, and I've taken on that attitude.
I guess, Greg, my question to you, are you clear or multicolor? I mean, because that's the big issue. Clear bulbs or multicolor?
Clear outside to shine the lights on the wreath, and then inside used to have a real tree. Bagged that, went artificial 2 years ago, and I think the lights are on them already.
I like multicolor. My wife likes clear color. So what colors do you think we have at our house?
Multicolor.
Oh, no.
What does your wife like?
My wife likes clear.
Clear. Oh, clear.
I mean, you don't even have to ask that question. That, of course not. So.
But Andy, are those questions you're asked? Do you get questions like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Of course.
Oh, I get
because
a lot
you're
of
the interior decorator also, yes. Right?
Oh, I do it all.
Wow.
I can do it all. I built my first house when I was 16 years old.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like a house, not like a clubhouse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dug the foundation and built it from the ground up. Started in the industry. I'm one of 10 kids. So I started in the industry when I was 13 years old is when I started working at the first hardware store I bought, but built the house at 16 and just moved on from there. But
this is the inadequacy podcast.
What I do and everything else, but Christmas decorating is fun.
I don't know what else to say after that.
Right.
Like, okay.
When I was 16.
So look at these lights.
Yes.
Wow. Which one was that? 1,000,460.
Yeah. That's
it. Wow. Andy, who says that? It was a drop the mic kind of moment.
You built a house in your teens. In my teens. But, and then I sold it and moved on. Because I lived at home. I didn't need a house.
Wow.
How many homes have you built since?
Well, that's the only one I built from the ground up. Other than that, I've fixed and remodeled thousands with friends, family, customers, and so forth.
And that's a hobby.
It's what we do. But yeah, I don't know. I try not to work hard anymore. I work smart.
So that's why
I don't have many blisters anymore. We teach. We really don't do it. I'm going to be 60 in February. I try not to do the physical work anymore. I don't like the big, tall ladders and getting up on the roofs and everything. The vision isn't quite good, so when I'm in that electrical panel, I get shocked a lot more than I used to be. But, we still do. Was that a white wire or a black wire? I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Let's just touch them together and see what happens.
That's crazy.
But we still love what we do. Absolutely love what we do.
I love it because you don't hear that being a hobby anymore, right?
I love what I do. The hardware store is my hobby. The media is another hobby, and we have quite a few other companies wrapped around there that we do, from commercial, industrial, government supplies, stormwater management stuff, hydroponic gardens, all that other kind of stuff that we do. Then that's
who knew
from
right?
a hardware.
I so badly wish
yeah,
you know I hear
knew?
That. Like, I don't know if you guys are like that, but I'm so envious because I wish I could do stuff on my own.
Well, Greg,
it drives me like I know nothing.
Yeah,
and that was going to be my question anymore. And from each generation weakens for sure, but there used to be that craft that you were taught, right, that was sort of passed down. Are you seeing more so now, especially from the hardware standpoint, that people are coming in with mega questions?
Yes, absolutely. The bottom line to it, in the past 10 years, there's been a huge flux in that the younger crowd, they want to do the work. They want to learn how to do it, and they are doing it, whether they're learning it on YouTube, which isn't always the best way to learn something, because there's a lot of YouTube videos out there that really aren't teaching you the right way or, let's say, the safest way to do things. But they're learning it. I was in Cleveland this past weekend. I like Cleveland's a really nice city. I like Cleveland.
We said there was going to be a truth-telling podcast.
Yeah.
Andy just broke the rule.
I actually liked Cleveland.
Okay.
And my daughter, my middle child, lives there. She works for Nestle's Corporation, and she turned 30, so we went up for her 30th birthday party that she had. And she had like 50, 60 people there, and I'm going to say a couple hours into it, this young man comes up to me and she goes, you're Catherine's dad, my daughter. I says, yeah, I am. Well, you're Handy Andy, my nickname. I said, yes, I am. He goes, well, do you have a minute? I'm like, yes. He goes, I have a few questions. Then he pulls out his phone and starts showing me videos. And about an hour and a half later,
we're
still there, and he's remodeling. And this guy is, I'm in his late 20s, and he's remodeling. He bought a house, and his goal is in 3 years he wants to live in the house. 150-year-old house. He totally gutting it. And now he wants to wire it and redo the plumbing and redo the concrete.
Wow.
And he's never done any of it. But he wants to, so he wants
good
to learn
for him.
How.
Back to Greg's point of passion,
and he's. I give him a lot of credit, and I'll help him any way I can with it.
He was
scaring me with the electrical work he wanted to do. He didn't know the difference between a 110 and 220, the different voltages and so forth.
He didn't know the difference between them.
Well, Greg, I know he's really bad.
I go back to Michael.
Wow.
I go back to Michael Keane, 220, 221, whatever.
It's Greg, it's the speed of the pitch.
Now you're talking my language.
I like it.
So, people have passion. But what I really like that's changing is the trade industry, the people that are going back to the trade industry, the carpenters training center, the plumbers, the unions, the electricians.
The steam fitters are on fire.
The steam fitters, the welders and so forth. And I do a lot of speaking to a lot of schools, a lot of high school kids, and talking to them and the school counselors about, college isn't for everyone. I never went to college. I think I'm pretty good at what I do.
You're all right.
My three
I'm
kids.
Inadequate.
My three kids went
Less
to college, but they wanted to. They
right.
didn't have to.
Yes.
But the kids that I talked to, find your passion and just do it. And going to the trade schools, it's absolutely huge. And I enjoy working with them. Whether it's their tech classes or whatever it is on it, just teaching them a trade or so forth with it. So whether you want to be a ball player, whether you want to be an announcer, whether you want to do videos or whatever you want to do, just find it and do it. But I love how in the last 10 years and 10 years ago, if I go to talk to a group of high school seniors about what they want to do, we have to go to college. Mom and Dad said we have to go to college. College was the only thing. And I mean, I have 35 employees right now. I have 3-4 that I can think of that have 4-year degrees. They're $100,000 in debt, and
they're not doing
what they went to school with, and that's a shame. That really is a shame. You go to a trade school, by the time 4 years is done, you're close to being a journeyman, and you have $100,000 sitting in the bank.
Yep.
So it's fun. And how did we get on that? We were talking about Christmas.
I know that.
So you like multicolor, right?
I still want to know that conversation.
So let's go back to the extension cord.
When that conversation first took place, Andy, you and Mary. So what lights do you like? Clear or color? Clear. Yes. Well, I like color, says Andy.
Okay, so let's put up the...
So fast forward, next video is you putting up clear lights.
Absolutely.
That's it.
And we actually did a video about me decorating our house about a year and a half ago.
Unbelievable.
It was fun.
Wow.
So, because we cut a lot of how-to videos for local cable networks, and one of them was the day that we decorated my house outside, because I'm not allowed to do it inside because it's not pretty enough. Outside I can handle.
Andy, aside from someone cornering you at a party for an hour and a half, what's the most commonly asked question, especially during holiday time?
To come decorate
for them?
Well, yeah, I get asked to decorate. Yeah. I'm like, no, I just don't have time for that. Probably the biggest question I get, the most common question about decorating is when you're decorating, and especially if two people are decorating and you're starting at opposite sides of the house and you come together to connect those last two sets of lights and both of the ends are the same.
Yeah.
They need an electrical adapter that has the male side on both ends or the female side on both ends. They don't exist.
No.
So trying to tell somebody,
you
can build them, but then you're going to really electricute yourself while you're
doing
it. It's funny, if I'm at the hardware store, it's funny at the hardware store, and I see a guy walking up, and he has two male cord ends. And you know exactly what he's going to do, because you can't buy it. So he's building it, and I'm like, make sure you lick those before you put them together.
nice tip.
Safety
tip. Just having fun. Good, clean fun.
Lick it first before you screw it in.
Hilarious.
And then he's going to juggle now.
So decorating time, that's probably my most common question. As far as... I get asked a lot, what's your most I've been on KDK Radio now 25 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And after 25 years of taking calls from people how to fix things and what to do, I get asked a lot, what's the most common question I get? What do you think it is, Greg? What do you think the most common home improvement? No, this is year round. What do you think I get?
Why does Greg get asked?
Yeah, why, yeah.
You don't care what John and I think?
He knows I'd ask the dumb questions.
Well, I know he doesn't repair anything at home, so I don't know that's what he's going to do.
John, what do you think? What's the most common question?
The only thing I repair in my house is relationships. I don't know. I don't know. It has to be something toilet related.
You're exactly right.
Is that right?
Wow.
Toilet's running. How do you fix it?
Well, that's it.
That's it?
That's it. That is the most common question I get.
John
is,
wins the
how
million
do you fix
dollars.
The toilet.
No. Unbelievable.
What?
So
it is. Well, the toilet is the
scariest
thing.
What's wrong with the toilet, though?
Your...
I don't know.
Well,
like when it's running.
When it's running. It's not shutting off, so you're wasting a lot of water.
Take that thing off and reach your hand in and lift that little lever.
Well, that's a temporary fix, yeah.
Well, see, unless it's broken, then you got to go get the new...
Thingy.
The chain broke. That's what you give me a new chain.
Or you could be like our mutual friend, Mr. Harold Ball, who just calls me on the phone and says, the front door's open, come in and fix it.
Really nice to have you as a personal Mr. Fix-It.
That's what John does for me. I always have to go over and fix his stuff.
Now it's so great that we have smartphones because I take a picture of what is wrong and I go to the hardware store and go, I need whatever that is to fix this.
But think it back. I started in this industry when I was 13, and I'm going to be 60. So 46, 47 years now doing it. Think of it even 30 years ago, 40 years ago in doing it, people didn't have cell phones. They didn't have pictures.
Yeah.
You know, and we used to joke, well, just bring the toilet with you or bring the sink with you. There was one day that I had a person put a bathtub in a vehicle and bring it down.
God. Oh, my God.
And say, how do you fix this drain? And I'm like... How did you take the bathtub out of the house?
But
people would bring us stuff all the time. Parts of toilet, parts of faucets, everything all together. Now it's so much easier. You just bring down that phone. Here's a picture.
Yeah.
And,
that's
hilarious. How do you fix
that?
That
kid
with
is so cute. We're all looking at right
twins,
now. If you're listening to the podcast, there are twins right here.
There's a scary T-Rex he's got, though.
I like the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Greg, do we have to let you go, or do you want to stay till Andy finishes? It's totally up to you. You want to go look at lights?
Go
count them.
You tell me.
I just know Greg's like our biggest passion in life is talking.
That's right.
And I think we're both pretty good at it.
I've got nothing to do. Yeah. It's wintertime.
I understand your toilet's broken at home. Your wife just called.
That's right. I'm going to go pick the toilet up and carry it into Andy Amrine's True Value.
Because he's moving. Did you know Greg was moving?
Well, you're moving. It doesn't have to work anymore.
There'll be more to do at the new house, for sure.
Yeah.
Andy, we see you all the time. You're in a red shirt. You're in a red jacket. Says True Value. When you are not in a red shirt, what is your favorite outfit to wear?
Wow, my favorite outfit is when I'm on the golf course.
Who asked that question?
It's always the same. It's like he's always in the same outfit, right?
Yeah.
So when you're not in work mode.
I'm in uniform.
Right.
Just like a doctor
when you're not in work mode, what's your favorite outfit?
I've golfed with him, Rachel and John, and he still wears the True Value.
Is that right?
Yeah, I do.
It's branding. I think it's great.
I'm not saying it looks bad. I'm just curious what you know, when you get up in the morning or when you don't have to wear that, you don't have to brand, what do you choose? Do you choose a crew neck sweater?
I like flannel shirts in the winter.
Right.
I do like flannel shirts. I wear blue jeans.
Okay.
I guess I don't wear them a lot, but on the golf course in the summer, I'll a nice pair of golf shorts on and so forth. And
who's a better golfer here between you two?
Well, this year I'd say I probably played more than Greg did, so I probably have him this year. Mm. Past years we were both really terrible.
You're my force.
I guess would both be 20 handicaps.
I don't even know what
something
that
like that.
I could care less.
We hit the ball a lot.
Golf is my handicap.
Well, that's great
in general.
It's hilarious.
The thing with golf is. You got 2-3 hours of relaxing where you're not being bothered. You turn the cell phone off. Usually, I do, not always, depending on the
Andy,
time.
Andy, lights just went out. I think they need you.
Well, I saw that. Well,
you put a cape
one
on.
Goes out, Andy, they all go. You got to check
ready.
It just got dark in here.
Do you think it's a problem that there's smoke and flames coming from the bottom?
No, so it's fine.
Oh, okay.
I think they like the light bulb before they put it in.
Well, it's a flaming bush. Oh, those are poinsettias. Okay, the wrong plant.
Listen, before we let you.
Someone just tripped over the cord. That's all it is.
It's fine. There's
if they
no one
lick
panic
it before they put it together, it's fine.
That's it.
Right.
So before we let you go, the gentleman who was here from Vancouver, who actually started Lumaze, We let him know that there were two questions. One was the easy one that you asked each other already.
Okay.
And the other one was, I think that Lumes, the term, was made because of luminating amazement. Lumes.
Okay.
So what two words would you put together to describe the holiday season? And the other easy question was, multi-lights or clear, and you guys already went through that four times.
Yeah.
So you get the harder question.
My wife told me that I like clear lights.
I know. That was
nice
of her.
That's exactly it. Right.
But what two words would you put together?
For the holiday season, friends and family.
Oh, that's perfect.
I look forward to seeing friends and family. That's
same.
My
brings us all
Christmas.
Together.
That's my holiday is
Greg.
Seeing.
Jeez, I don't know. That is a hard one. Wow. You guys have thought this out, haven't you?
We do that now. Remember,
Rachel's
you brought that out in us. Yeah. We plan and we think.
I didn't bring this on where you combine words to create a... You know how many people got involved over the years to come up with LeMay's? They had meetings. They spent thousands of dollars. And I'm here to come up with a Christmas word.
Greg's like, holiday means moving.
Moving.
Jeez, oh, man. Chaos. Holidays, mayhem. What is
it's
that?
It's true.
Playamaz.
Mayhaws.
There you go. It sounds
Where are we finding them, John?
Yeah. Mm. Andy, where do we find you online? Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of stuff?
I have people that do all that for me. I'm not smart
enough. Okay.
We'll put it in the show notes.
We'll make sure we put the link in the show notes. Yeah.
We do a lot on social media. We have Facebook pages, whether my personal one or EV True Value Hardware, where you could see them all on KDK, on YouTube. Gosh, I probably have 1,000, 1,500 videos that we've shot over the last couple of years.
Right.
So
and
they could just
Saturday.
Put in Handy Andy. Andy, they're going to get a lot. We have a huge following in southern Italy. So sometime I got to get there. Our last video we did on a furnace repair, it's over 1 million views, and I'm going to say a lot of them are in southern Italy. So I got to get there just to see the people.
Thank you for inviting the Jagoff podcast to go with you. We really appreciate that. So
all the roads.
All right, we'll see you then.
All expenses paid.
I love that,
Pretty cool, Andy.
Thank
Very nice of
thank
you.
Greg Brown.
If it's off-season, I'd like to tag along with you, John, and Rachel.
Thank you. We're fun people.
Colin
for sure.
Yeah, okay, good.
Twitter account. What's your Twitter account, Greg? You know.
It's a G Brownie.
G Brownie.
Yeah.
Right. We love it. And so you're off to sell your house. Do you want to do a commercial for that right now? You know,
it's funny. I did a one-on-one interview with Ben Cherington, the new general manager, the day it was announced that he was named. We went into the ballpark and got a studio, and I did about an hour-long one-on-one with him. And at the end, we were walking out, and I just met him. I said, by the way, if you're moving to Pittsburgh... And a couple of guys that were there, a couple of came like, my God, don't you have any shame? What is wrong with you? And Ben, there was nothing. There were crickets.
That's funny.
He didn't say anything. So
that's funny. Yeah. Well, whatever you need to do to get him on the Jagoff podcast, he needs to be with us.
He'd love a trip to Italy.
Right.
There we go.
To fix a furnace. We're going to furnace fixing trip.
Ben Cherington, Andy Amari, John and Rachel, Colin and the rest.
Elbows deep in the furnace.
Yes.
All right. Very cool. Well, thank you guys both.
Merry Christmas.
We really appreciate you taking
Merry
the time.
Happy New Year.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Rosalind from the Incline Pittsburgh because there's
as
walking
long as I
tour for Pittsburgh.
The bridge and get to the place that I call home. Nothing like a back and home Christmas. Nothing like a back and home.
All right, great.
Yeah, John. What are we doing?
I don't know. According to the script, Rosalind from Incline, not the Incline, but the Incline Pittsburgh, incline.com, right?
That's right.
Is here. And it's... You were on it. Were you on our podcast one other time?
No, I'm a first timer.
No, what? It was someone else because that was your mannequin episode at Point Park College.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't even on yet. It was like 4 years ago.
That's right. That's crazy.
Yeah, right. Wow. Whenever you, I think it was one of your first issues out, to be honest. It was very, very early on because you said, this is a new product that you're going to love. So
we just turned three, so that the timing all lines
three.
Up.
There you go.
Wow.
See?
How about that? So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
How about this? So you kind of got to see the background of it all, how it's completely disheveled, but it sounds really polished
somehow,
when it comes out.
Yeah.
There was no dishevelment. No. It was great.
I appreciate
that's
the
life,
coverage.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the way it works.
Yeah.
And it's just different reporting. You know, we anytime we have someone from the media industry on, we ask the question, how do you feel about the face of journalism and how it's changed. What are your thoughts on the fact, I mean, you guys have gone through things as well, but the fact that I think we met you at the event where we were honored because we were finalists for Golden Quilt.
Oh, the Golden Quilt. Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. So podcasts and blogs are now considered, you know, means of media. Mm-hmm. What to you, what is that like?
I think the big thing for me is the only thing that's changed, at least in my work, is the medium. So the same kinds of work that I was doing, I'm a former Trib Live reporter, so yeah. I think you are too, yes. right? The work that I was doing at the Trib and the Valley News Dispatch, it's pretty much the same. It's just the medium's different, which makes me think a lot about the work we do. I think with digital journalism, at least our brand of digital journalism, we're trying to be a lot more accessible. Yeah. We want it to be a conversation. When we were writing a newsprint, there wasn't much of a conversation with readers. Sure, you would get phone calls and people would send you letters to the editor, but now people actually just, you know, read an article and email me directly or tweet at me, and there's this immediate feedback loop,
right.
which can be very stressful, but I also really like, because you're finding out what people want to know, you're yeah. finding out what people like. We get story ideas from readers all the time, which wasn't so much the case at a newspaper.
Sure, so, you had to come up with everything, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it wasn't necessarily what people wanted to read. So I have been pretty excited about the future of digital journalism. Obviously, we have a long ways to go to figure out how to make digital journalism sustainable, but we're trying, just as you guys are. And I think there's been a lot of thought leadership in Pittsburgh with a lot of digital outlets and new media outlets trying to give it a go.
Yeah.
And you're fairly younger than I, at least at this point.
That
so
was smart.
Was and
just a little younger than me.
Was this in your purview when you were in school?
No,
about
not
what,
at
right?
all.
So
how
that's how current yeah. it really is.
Yeah,
and how
absolutely.
Fast it's quickly changing, right?
That's yep. a great point. Yeah, for sure. And I think the fact is, you were saying, you know, it's a little bit stressful, but I think it also makes you recognize that there's a skill that you don't realize you have, which is thinking on your feet, right? Mm-hmm. So if someone's tweeting you and they're waiting on a response, you're forced to give that answer, and mm-hmm. it's more real and more raw, right?
Yep, certainly. We view the Incline as a community, and it's a community about Pittsburgh. It's a community of people who want to hold Pittsburgh accountable to make Pittsburgh the best it can be, and also it's a community of people who love Pittsburgh, and it's that love that makes us want this place to be a special place for everyone. But we think of it, I think, a lot differently than I was trained in journalism school. It was much more like the newspaper was like the arbiter of fact, and we like gave you the information, but now it's just different. It's much more of a direct feedback loop. But no, when I graduated school in 2010, I went to Penn State, and digital journalism was like just on the mm-hmm. precipice. I mean, I remember launching Twitter accounts at my college newspaper. Like, now Twitter is just something that is a part of our daily life as journalists, but mm-hmm. it wasn't that long ago that was completely mm-hmm. new.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the stories that you enjoy most and how you guys are taking stories differently than a Post-Gazette or a different outlet.
Yeah, so we don't see ourselves as a newspaper of record, which, you know, the Post-Gazette right. does. If there's a city council meeting happening, they have to be there, they have to be covering it, they have to write about it, right? Well, first of all, we can't do that because we're very small. We're
right.
a startup. But secondly, we see ourselves as telling the stories that are in the gaps and the stories that are in the margins. So if we were to write about something happening in city council, we would be looking at something kind of on the periphery where we could kind of take our own angle. We've done a lot of reporting about Pittsburgh's quirks. So my favorite story I ever did was the story about why Pittsburghers add an S to things.
I read that. Yeah. Yes. And we've done a funny like blurb on that
oh,
as
nice.
Well. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
so fun. And people really resonated with it. So it was like, you know, like you're like my dad, like you might call it like Panera's or yeah. Giant Eagles or Aldi's,
Aldi's
yeah. right? Sheetz's, yes.
Or Sally Wiggins.
Sally who, Wiggins, yes.
Who is not?
No. So that, I think, was a really good example of an Incline story because it
That's
was sort of
example.
This, like, local quirk, and we took it to the next level. We talked to linguists about why Pittsburghers do that and tried to find out why we do this peculiar way of speaking.
Yeah.
So things like that have been really fun. We have this cool Pittsburghpedia series mm-hmm. where we define Pittsburgh terms. So we just did one about the parking chair, which you guys will appreciate because
yes.
I'm sure you have opinions
yes.
about that.
Yes.
and talked about like the ethics of the parking chair. So it was super fun.
That's great.
And talk about, you referenced that you're small. Talk about how small you are.
Yeah, so we are super small. There's myself and then a writer named Colin Deppen. And then we have... So
every good company has a Colin.
Exactly. Aww. It's the key.
That was really nice of him.
Yeah. Is it one L or two L's?
He's a one L, Colin.
Same.
Okay. There you go.
All right, that's it, Colin. That's all. No more talking. Okay.
So it's just...
Go ahead, Rosalind.
It's just the two of us on editorial, and then we have a sales team member, and we have a part-timer who handles our membership program. So,
do you believe
pretty
that?
Small.
Yeah.
And that's
but you're
your,
thriving. Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the membership is the biggest thing. It's if you're listening to a podcast, you might have Patreon or whatever. Mm-hmm, this mm-hmm. is similar to
exactly.
you guys. And it is that's what causes the community to build because I have a financial interest in I want to read. Mm-hmm. I want you to continue what you're producing, so I donate a few bucks here.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. And it's very important to us that we want the content to be free for everyone because we believe that everyone should have access to the stories that we're trying to tell. And so our members are folks who want to like take it to the next level and make sure that we're able to continue doing that. So it's very, very powerful to us to see that people want to support our work in that way.
Love it. So talk a little bit about... this walking tour. What's
yeah.
going on?
Speaking of community.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So one of the really fun things about The Incline, and you probably feel this way about the podcast, is sometimes you just get to act on your really wacky ideas.
Yes.
So
we went Black Friday shopping. Do you know that?
Oh, no.
We
I didn't
recorded
see that.
A podcast from inside of a Honda Odyssey yeah. with four
with
ladies
women.
Who have a 20-year yeah. to history. Yeah.
Oh,
so
my gosh. I have to listen
it.
To that.
We acted on it. Yeah. So
that's
you're right.
Amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
So you get to act on your dreams.
Totally. So one of the things that I love to do. I lived downtown for a while, and my favorite thing to do at the holidays was to walk around downtown and look at all of the lights and all of the different places and just kind of explore. So I created this walking tour, a guided tour, and it's a DIY tour, but this year I also published a book called 100 Things to Do in Pittsburgh Before You Die.
I did not know that.
I better hurry up and read that.
Yes. Thank you. it's... It's a Pittsburgh bucket list. So in connection with my book, which several of the spots on the walking tour are featured in the book, so you get to check a few off your list. I'm also doing a guided tour this year. There's one coming up on December 22nd. So it is a DIY, it's intended as a DIY tour, but if you want me to guide you through the city, then I also have a guided tour. Starts out with coffee and ends with a cocktail. So it's
that is
great,
my life.
It's great fun.
Wow.
Are there three kids in
That's
hockey
every...
in between?
Yeah.
If so, we're the same person.
Some days it starts with a cocktail and ends with a coffee.
I don't know. Never ends with a coffee. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So where are the locations? It's all downtown?
All downtown.
Okay.
So we go to 9 different locations. I'm actually going to add a 10th because K&L Gates puts this gigantic
yeah.
Christmas ball out
yes.
front, and
yeah.
I thought they weren't doing it because it hadn't been out there.
Right.
And I just saw the other day they put it up. So I'm going to add a 10th stop. But it's things like that. So it's places like seeing the Horns Tree, the Point State Park Tree.
Yeah.
We go to the Omni William Penn and look at the tree there.
I
and that's where
Omni
we end
William
with a cocktail at the Wiggle Whiskey Bar there. So yeah, 9, now 10 stops. It takes about 2 hours. Nice way to get a little exercise
December 22nd.
Outside.
What
December
are we doing?
22nd on Sunday.
It's Robert's.
Sunday. Well, let's walk first and then go
do
to
it.
The party.
We're
Come on
in.
By. It's at 4 o'clock.
We could
do
that.
That.
All right. I'll email you guys.
Okay, for sure.
Hello.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then, of course, at the end, I sign everyone's book and send them off with warm wishes.
This
so
is awesome.
It's
so
fun. Great
out
idea.
Of the, out
Thank
of
you.
The walking tour that you do, what's your biggest surprise? Mm-hmm. Like, once you did it, you said, oh, this one has to be on the walking tour, do you think?
Oh, that's so tough. I love them all. The Omni William Penn is one of my absolute favorites.
It's so classic.
It's so beautiful.
Yes.
The tree is so gorgeous.
Yes.
And I actually, my best friend works there, and she taught me a lot about their chandelier ceremony. So once a year, they bring down those three giant chandeliers, and they clean them by hand.
Yep.
And it's really an honor to be selected to clean them. It's quite special. And they glisten. So they've just cleaned them, I think, right before light-up night. So if you go by, they just look phenomenal. It's
yeah,
truly
you can
amazing.
Tell the difference.
Oh, you
it's
can,
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, this is great.
First
this
of all, we need
expecting.
To make a video. We need to go
oh,
help
you
clean
go.
That thing.
Yeah, yeah you should go next year.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah, for the chandelier.
It's super cool. And they, like, I can't remember the exact number, but they turn them like dozens and dozens of with a hand crank to get them to lower down. It's so cool. You should go next year.
Wow. This is a lot awesome. Of things. So the walking tour, it starts wherever I want it to start if I'm not hiring
you? If you're not, if you're not coming on the 22nd, you can do it however you want. Mm-hmm. So I have it starting at the point as a recommend, like I made a recommendation of stops and how to do it, but you can start wherever you choose.
You don't get in trouble if you don't
do that. I won't. Santa, listen, only Santa will know.
You do not work with Rachel because Rachel, the next one is this, but we're going over there. No, the next one is this. Yes.
Yeah, you can do whatever order you want. You can pick as many as you want. This year, the gingerbread houses have been moved to the city-county building.
That's all we've been hearing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Everybody's there. Pondicherry loves the gingerbread houses. Yeah,
it's so cool. And honestly, I love... I think the city-county building is so beautiful, and I love that the gingerbread houses are set up there.
Yeah.
Super cool. It's a it's a little bit of a nicer flow, I think, than it used to
be. And if I'm not mistaken, that was James Hill's creation.
I think it was. Yeah.
Kudos.
Shout
I
out to
him.
James. Yeah, I know. He's wonderful.
That's fantastic. So how do people... do this? Do they log on through
So Incline? They can find the walking tour on theincline.com. It's on our homepage. And they can, there's a interactive version that they can click on their phone to help them figure out where all the stops are. So super easy to follow. And then if anyone wants to do the guided tour, it's 100thingspittsburgh.com, the number 100.
Number 100. And what is the cost for that?
It is $25 per person, and that includes your coffee and your cocktail and your book.
Do you want to come,
Colin? Colin, here's the challenge. We're going to go down and do that, and we're going to give Rachel the list and let her negotiate downtown Pittsburgh by herself.
That's not even funny.
And we will pick her up next Thursday.
Correct.
In 2 feet from where she was.
Right. Oh my God. I love it. This is great. Yeah, I'm serious. We are. I would like to do this.
Yeah.
Well, one of the surprises on the first tour that I did was I expected it to be a lot more locals, and actually, folks came from really far. So there was a couple that came from Ohio. There was a couple that came from Johnstown. It was really nice to see people coming into Pittsburgh
interested
for the holidays.
About it. Yeah.
And I think they just wanted, you know, to do something festive, but also like someone to guide them so they didn't get lost.
Right.
But I'm happy to do it.
Yeah. And, my gosh, this is great. Is there a limit to how many people can be guided?
There is. I have capped it at 20 just because it does get a little bit unwieldy trying to navigate with that many people. I'm learning about being a tour guide. That's not my bread and butter. This is new. So I'm learning that it's hard to keep track of that many people.
Termed Roslyn's Rowdies downtown.
Yeah, that is basically
what it was. Come be a part of Roslyn's Rowdies.
Yeah. Our surprise on the first tour was we were walking along and this woman came up to us and screamed, "Hey!" And I'm just like, oh my God, am I going to have to protect these people?
Yeah.
And then she started caroling.
Oh,
and I was like, well, that was very unexpected, but it was really lovely.
Well, who starts a carol
with "Hey"? Well, we know
what
we're doing.
Yeah. I was like, I did not plan this. This was a total surprise.
It's not part of the tour. No.
So let's remind, because we're goofing around, everybody, where do they find out the information, find out the tour if they want to take it yourself? There's
So DIY, do-it-yourself tour, theincline.com. If you want a guided one, 100thingspittsburgh.com. That's the number 100. And then on theincline.com, while you're there, you're going to find a lot of other cool stories that you should check out, including that parking chair story that I referenced. So
we'll
thought...
We'll have to post that.
Yeah, for sure.
It was much more controversial than I thought. There was a lot of drama on Twitter about it.
I'm sure. No doubt.
And if they want to start off Christmas caroling while you're walking around, just walk up
like,
and go,
come on down. Hey! Yeah, but just... just come on down.
Cool.
Roslyn, I hate that it took this long to have you come on. We'd love to have you come on more often.
Thank you. This
was
a blast.
Talk about the great stories that you do, and maybe we'll do more walking tours.
Awesome. Let's do it.
All right. So the question of the day.
I don't know if you were lingering and heard it, but I decided, and I'm wrong, by the way, Lumaze was not made by two words, luminating and amazement.
Oh.
It is actually a French word. The man from Vancouver explained. I made that up completely.
Right.
But to me, that's what those two words were, right? So what two words best describe, put together for the holiday season? Walking tour.
Yeah, walking tour. No, I was looking around. Well, let's say there's a snowflake over there, so I'll say snow and sparkle. So like snarkle?
Snarkle.
Which sounds sassy, so maybe that's like a holiday bar or something.
There you go.
I like it.
I like it.
It's a drink.
You did it, though. You did
it's a cookie.
It could be.
Oh, that does sound like a cookie with like some powdered sugar on the top.
I like it.
Cool.
Perfect. Roslyn, thank you so much
thank
for coming
on the Thank you both.
This
Ajago was
podcast.
So fun.
We really appreciate it.
We'll now, see you walking.
Next, we get to talk to the people that you've been listening to the entire podcast.
To walk the downtown streets, but if it's too slippy, then I can see the- the tree that's at
so
the
after 6 months of trying to get square. This Christmas song on the podcast, finally, like, the day of Christmas, you're here!
Woohoo! Glad to be here.
Oh, my gosh. How great. Well, first we have to tell you that, so we were connected to Chip and the Charge Ups, right?
Correct.
By Brian Gulish.
Right.
From the Community Food Bank. And he said, you guys would be perfect to connect. Well, that was November, and here we are in December at Lumet's. But you also know Dan Cachado, who works for us.
Oh, really? He
yes.
works for you?
Yes.
Danny and I went to grade school together. High
That's
school,
what he
too.
Said.
Yeah, and I always, it's probably a long story, but I always have this story from grade school. And,
okay,
and
about Dan?
Danny
Do it.
Is involved in it.
Let's hear it.
All right, so
let's
well,
hear it.
I went to a Catholic grade school with
yeah.
Danny,
mm-hmm.
and in those days, like, schools didn't have air conditioning, right? So especially like Catholic schools,
right?
So
right.
It was so hot. It was probably a May or June day, and it was just incredibly hot. And I found that the Elmer's glue bottles, if you squeezed them a little bit, you got a little puff of cool air.
Oh,
so I was like, ooh, I got a little puff of cool air. Yeah, I'm really cooling down. And then I realized something felt a little wet in my hair.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm like, oh, no. Did I really squirt glue in my hair? So I said, hey, Danny, just keep this quiet, but do I have glue in my hair? And he said, Sister Scholastica, Chip has glue in his hair.
Dan.
So she Dan. Came up to you. What's wrong with you, kid?
Dan's a narc.
So,
whatever.
Yeah.
We have to get rid of him.
So I always tell that story. So I haven't talked to Dan probably since a high school reunion.
Because when he knew the email was going back and forth trying to get you on the podcast, mm-hmm. he said, oh, great guy.
Awesome.
Never yeah. mentioned the glue.
But yeah. he's like Tony Dorsett. He's now Daniel. So
yes.
just be careful.
Oh, okay.
He's
yeah,
now Danny. There's
Daniel.
No Danny now.
Don't
well,
do it, Chippy.
Danny left Pittsburgh.
Well, Daniel has always been a great guy. That's the yeah. I hate telling that story because it makes him seem like a bad dude.
Oh,
no.
Such a good
this
dude.
Is like the nicest person.
Right,
him
right.
and his family.
It's like
yeah.
a Pittsburgh challenge. There are two Pittsburgh challenges associated with Dan Cachado. Find somebody to say something bad about him, or do whatever you can to get Dan to swear.
Right.
Because he will not swear. Mm-hmm. The only thing that made him swear is who's the guy that's the coach of the Phoenix Cardinals when he was here in Pittsburgh. Literally, he is the only man that Dan Cachado yeah.
was it the guy
about.
Who used to coach for the Steelers?
Yeah. I
can't
remember
think
his name.
Of it, but yes,
yeah, I can't remember his name, but I should
but
know
we
that.
Get him to say "I love you" at the end of every meeting.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
we're hanging up, we're like "Love you, Dan." He's like "Love you."
So now,
right, no more Dan. No
yeah,
more Dan.
Let's talk about
guys,
Chip
welcome.
And the Charge Ups.
Yeah.
Right, welcome
oh,
to the
you.
Podcast.
Thanks for having
and
us.
And you're no thank stranger you. To Pittsburgh music.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've been pretty active with it since 2005, almost constantly. You know, playing out all the time, releasing. I think I've done 9 or 10 releases since then, and been in a few different bands that I've led, and Chip and the Charge Ups is the newest and the latest, and we've been together going on 2 years.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about Chip and the Charge Ups.
Cool.
Why
well,
the name?
Well, when I was first putting the band together, I wanted to come up with something Chip and the somethings. And I wanted to take advantage of the CH and the CH.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a list of, I think, 26 different band names. And then I got input from family, friends, and so forth, narrowed it down to two. And then I asked 7 people to tell me what they liked better. And there was actually another name that got 4 votes versus 3 for Chip and the Charge Ups. Then we got and that was Chip and the Checkouts. And this is going to make great Wikipedia material here. So it was going to be Chip and the Checkouts. And then we got a logo design for Chip and the Checkouts, and it was horrendous. It was the ugliest thing you can ever imagine. So I'm like, oh, man, can you guys design one for Chip and the Charge Ups? And then they designed the Chip and the Charge Ups logo, which we love.
Better.
And
okay.
we're like, new band name, Chip and the Charge Ups.
I
love
how
that comes
designer,
up.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right. DJ, what's your role in the band here?
I would be the guitar player.
Okay.
And in Chip's last band and his latest incarnation, I was also the guitar player in that.
Okay.
So you're hanging with Chip.
Yes.
Very natural
to come back and play when he asked me. So of course I said yes.
You're a Pittsburgher all your life?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So what do you think about, let's talk about Lumaze for a little bit here. Like, did you guys get a chance to walk around here? Kind of crazy.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Are you guys like decorators where this would blow your mind? Or no, you're like, I do this at home every year.
Well, I like when someone else does it.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool seeing someone else do the work.
I like when the wife does it.
Okay.
So talk about the song that we're hearing today on the podcast. So it's Black and Gold. It's just bleeding Pittsburgh. So is that why you did it? Just because it's a Pittsburgh thing?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, also a Pittsburgher all my life, and so much pride in not only the city, but the Pittsburgh music scene in general. And just wanted something to celebrate. You know, celebrate all the things that are special about Christmas or special about Pittsburgh. And I thought, wow, you know, a time of year that's really special in Pittsburgh is Christmas. So back in July, I started saying, okay, well, if I want to get a Christmas song out this year, now's the time to start.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, air conditioning blaring, it's 95 degrees outside, and I'm holed up writing a Christmas song. But I wanted to write a Pittsburgh themed Christmas song. Then I thought, White Christmas, Blue Christmas, there's those. What about a Black and Gold Christmas? And it was just such an awesome, perfect fit, and just ran with it.
And how perfect that we had Greg Brown on to kind of help that, right? We themed it for you.
Right.
Greg Brown from the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah. So. And Greg Brown said he wasn't going to come on unless we had you here.
Yeah, he said, if there's not a Black and Gold song, I'm out.
Right.
So he did it.
Right.
So thank him.
Nice.
Thanks,
so Greg.
Thank you.
Do you guys co-write together, or Chip, do you mainly do the writing, or do you kind of, how does that work?
It's kind of been a fluid process. Like, the first two albums that we released were written before we even played a single show.
Okay.
And then so I kind of wrote the albums, and then we put the band together, start playing out. DJ was actually not available when we first formed, but then we had a change in the guitar player position. DJ was the first person I contacted, and it took all of like 5 minutes to have a new guitar player in the band.
And he changed his relationship on Facebook to in a relationship with a band,
right?
Exactly.
With a band.
Yep. Unavailable.
So now as we're progressing with DJ, as my right hand man again. The writing process is changing, and we're doing things a lot differently. And DJ is actually bringing some riffs to the table. So even though we're almost done with our third album, looking even further into the future, I think DJ's influence will be much more apparent on the fourth album, because he just has so many great musical ideas that he's brought to the table, and we're going to run with.
Thank you.
Look at that, DJ. Look, he didn't just, you're not just called
our
in here to
brings out the
hold the fourth microphone, right? Yeah. Now, Chip, your daughter is in the band as
correct.
Well?
Correct. Yeah, Melina is our 17-year-old bass player.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah. You have to be proud.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, is that something you wanted her to do?
No, it kind of was an accident. I mean, you know, like, our relationship is, you know, father-daughter, you know, it's like, I always saw a clear distinction between, you know, you have to be a parent, and, you know, your kids are not your friends until they're all grown up. So, you know, it's like, okay, we're father-daughter relationship. But the weird thing was, I'd have invite bass players to audition, and they would either not show up at all, they'd flake out and not show up, or they'd come and not really do well. So after their auditions, they would leave, and Melina's been a great bass player for quite some time. They'd be like, oh, Melina, you know, the bass player audition's done. He left. You want to sit in with us? So she sat in with us. And it was like, wow, she did really well. We sound really good with her. And then the next week, she'd have like three more songs down. And then it came to our first show, and we didn't have a bass player. And it's like, oh, Melina, you want to play this show? And it was just a fantastic show. And it's like, this fits too well to not do it. Mm-hmm. So it
That's
was like,
great.
Melina, you know, welcome to the band.
Nice. That's totally cool.
So, question of the day. Did you guys hear it already?
The light?
Yeah. Like question?
Well,
or
sort of
you could have lied. You could have lied.
Or the combination
yes!
word.
Yes.
Yeah. We heard that. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So before we get to the question of the day, where can we find you when you're not doing the Black and Gold Christmas mm-hmm. song? Are you at other places? I mean, you talked about local music and how you've seen it grown. Love it.
Yes.
Where can we find you?
Well, I think the best place to kind of get connected with us is our website, which is thechargeups.com. Mm-hmm. And there you can link to all of our social media, whether you're a Facebook person, Instagram person, Snapchat person, YouTube person, you know, follow it from there. And then you can also find all of our shows. We play around town quite a bit. And
favorite venue?
I really like the Funhouse at Mr. Small.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. DJ?
Mine was Altar Bar, which is sadly closed.
That's okay. Exactly what Adam said, I believe, last week on the podcast.
Adam
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I loved playing there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All that's
right.
Crazy.
So
all
check
right.
Them out. So then the question is, and we can't give you the easy one, which is colored lights are clear. Illumaze does not mean illuminating amazement. But if you were to put two words together, what would they be to sum up the holidays?
So
season?
Mad about that.
Well, I would say since we have a Pittsburgh-themed Christmas song, and that's kind of what we're known for
yeah.
At this point in our journey, maybe Pittsburgh Christmas would make Pittsmas.
Mm.
Wow.
Wow.
It's not exactly Lumaze, but,
it's better
you know.
Than Christburg.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Pittsmas. All right.
DJ, you're not off the hook.
Oh, boy.
Your job depends on this. He told us.
He already said it.
Yeah, he said you're not best friends.
I got a show tonight.
Where's
you think
show?
You have a show? At Howlers in Bloomfield, just right up the road.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, boy. Man, I'm not good at thinking.
Just say it. He said, "I'm not good at thinking."
You phone a friend.
Can I use a lifeline?
Yeah, right. Yes, right, right.
Yes. Throw two words out.
Two words.
Music scene.
Yinsmas.
Yeah. Oh, see, I like that.
Really
DJ, you win the day.
Chips,
you
yeah.
win the day. See, that wasn't
yeah,
hard.
You got it.
Guys, thank you for finally getting on. We
thanks
hope
for
that
your
it helps,
this
right?
Is great.
We hope that people love the song. That's the song you've been hearing throughout the podcast. Hopefully, everybody loves it as much as we do, and you continue yeah. to do well here. Stay
for
in Pittsburgh.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I will tell you, I know it was a long wait to get into the podcast, but the last two podcasts have not been in comfortable places. Rainy, cold, these kind
yeah.
of things. So we did get you inside.
Yeah,
least, right?
We got a roof over our heads.
Right,
it's nice.
Right, right.
That's
lots
all
of Christmas.
A million
lights. There, very cool. Thank
thanks,
you very
guys.
Much. We appreciate
right.
it.
Thanks so much.
So thanks again to everybody that was on the podcast, Chipping the Charge Ups. Thanks to Greg Brown, Andy Anrime. Who
Rosalind,
right? Yeah,
from
and
the
Rosalind,
incline,
right? And we are definitely going to take that Pittsburgh.
I'm with you.
Tour.
I agree. Yeah, we told yeah. her, so it's on record.
Yeah,
you can't
and
back
thanks
out.
To the folks at Lumaze for letting us come down here and do this.
Lumaze does not mean illuminating amazement.
I love the fact that you're so disappointed in that because I really thought you had it. I was
thank
into
you.
It.
Yeah. Did I get? Did I like? You believed me. I convinced you.
Yeah, I was. I was.
And the guy was like, yeah. "That was great, but that is so
no." he Rachel'd you. He's like, "That's
like,
wonderful."
No.
And thanks again to Rory Conda, who is big on car checkups and celebrity meetups like the one with Arthur Motes this Thursday, 5 p.m. in the showroom. Stop for a hot chocolate with Arthur and enjoy his podcast live.
Plus, purchase his book, Theory of Life, and get his signature on that day. It is perfect for a holiday gift, along with a Rorick ride, of course. Stop by our Bloomfield location or visit us at Rorick.com.
For us boys, nothing like a black and gold Christmas.